Our young people today need spiritual wisdom and guidance in their relationship with God. What kind of spiritual wisdom and guidance are you giving your children and maybe even your grandchildren? Over the past few weeks on the Let the Bible Speak program, I've been raising the question, what kind of guidance are we giving our young people? They certainly need help with the physical things of life, food, shelter, clothing, their education, their car, their job, their cell phone. But more importantly, they need conversation from us on how to have a right relationship with God, themselves, and others. And for the past few weeks on the Let the Bible Speak program, and I want to conclude this morning, a series of lessons that I've entitled Paternal Appeals from the Book of Proverbs. Different places where Solomon and the proverb writer says, my son this, and my son that. And they deal with wisdom and guidance and advice involving divine wisdom from God, spiritual wisdom on how to have a proper life so that a person can be right with God and be ready to go to heaven in the judgment day. Are you giving that kind of advice to your children? So far, we've looked at 8 different paternal appeals. This morning, I want to close with number 9 and 10, and we will close our series. If you'll turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6, paternal appeal number 9 comes from chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and then paternal appeal number 10 will come from chapter 6 and verse 20, and it runs all the way through chapter 7, paternal appeals dealing with sexual immorality. To my listening audience who are parents or grandparents, let me encourage you to have a right relationship with God yourself, to know your Bible, and to take those great biblical principles and help others. Biblical principles never hurt anyone. They only help. Now, I know down through church history, I'm well aware that individuals from time to time have twisted the Bible and have ended up hurting others with it. They have twisted God's word to make it say something that it did not in order to kill others or oppress others or enslave others. I'm well aware of that. But when properly understood, when properly interpreted, God's word never hurt anyone. And we can take those same biblical principles and help our generation today that is struggling and floundering for their own self-identity and for their own life and relationship with others. They're struggling. But we can help them. We can raise them up with divine wisdom and guidance and advice. The 9th paternal appeal that I want to consider this morning is taken from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Let's read that together. If you have your Bible, I would encourage you to read along. And it deals with a warning for a young person not to be tied to other people, especially people that they don't know, with regard to assuming their debts. And we're going to make a broader application in just a moment, but that's the specific context. The word that is used here, security, your version might have a little bit different word, but do not put up your security for your neighbor. It's talking about like co-signing for a debt, or if our neighbor defaults on their debt, we are responsible to pay it. Don't do that. You're tying yourself in with someone who may ruin your life. Proverbs 6, 1 through 5. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, have given your pledge for a stranger, If you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. For you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go, hasten, and plead urgently with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep, and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. What is being discussed here is a father giving a son guidance and warning not to tie themselves in with the debts of others. Now, this wouldn't necessarily be in every case. We might know someone, such as our own family member. I know in the past, when I was much younger, my father would loan me money and I paid him back. He would go in with me on a particular financial adventure, something that involves something big like buying a home or buying land, something like that. And he would go in together with me because he knew me. It's not talking about in every case, it's talking about in general. And especially the neighbor and the stranger that you don't really know. Don't tie yourself in with them and assume responsibility for their debts. They could easily default on that, and then you are liable. And it's not only here. It's several places in the book of Proverbs. You'll see it again in 11:15, in 17:18, and 20, verse 16, and 22:26, and 27:13. It's found different places. It's a very serious thing. And so, don't do this in general. And we need to give our children wisdom and advice and guidance concerning tying themselves in with other people who are going to take them down. And I would broaden the application not just simply to debts, but other kinds of influences, other kinds of social contracts, if you will, that we make with other people. We make promises to them. We make commitments to them. We tie ourselves in with them and get hurt by their behavior. A group of friends, plans that we've made, a trip that we're going to do together, debts, projects that we're going to do together, investments, spending money together on a particular item. You got to be very careful who you're tying yourself in with. And parents, don't be afraid, or grandparents, don't be afraid to talk to the children about these matters and just be upfront with this wisdom. And that's a part of what we've been talking about over the past few weeks, just willing to be plain about divine wisdom. I wonder sometimes if many parents and grandparents are fearful of the young people. They don't want to bring up anything. They don't want to hurt feelings. They don't want to say anything negative. They don't want to fight on their hands. They don't want the door slammed in their face. Well, remember, you're in the driver's seat. You're the one buying the food and the clothing and providing the shelter. You're paying the phone bill for their cell phone. You have a right to say some things that are going to help the young people eternally. Not only a right, but a privilege and an obligation. It's a part of raising and bringing up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. So paternal appeal number 9 is be careful who you make your pledge with, specifically dealing with debts, and in more general, I would say any type of arrangement or agreement or contract with others that bring us down. Choose your friends carefully. Choose the activities that you do with them carefully. Often, for the most part, innocent young person, often they get taken down the wrong path and into a dark place because they're tied in with others. And even adults end up doing that, especially with regard to assuming the debts of others. Be careful who you marry. I've seen that happen. A person will marry somebody else and they will take them down a dark path with regard to debt. I've seen that, excuse me, in my own family. You got to be very careful who you marry. You got to be careful who you go into business with. You've got to be careful who you make relationships with. Now, the 10th and final paternal appeal that I want to talk about this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. And it runs all the way through chapter 7 and verse 27. And we're going to read all of these verses. And it is the second of three paternal appeals that deal with sexual immorality. Focus on sexual ethics. That's gone by the wayside today. The only sexual ethics that many people have is that sex with anyone is fine, including two males together, including two females together, anybody you want to have sex with. And that's contrary to biblical principles. And that's why so many people want to get the Bible out of their life. They don't want the Bible telling them something different than what they want to do. Or some people twist the Bible to condone sexual immorality and homosexuality. They twist what the verses say. They make it say the opposite of what it really says. But we're going to start reading in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. And you need to talk with your children and grandchildren about being sexually pure. Hebrews 13:4, fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And so it's a serious thing. And the advice that is given here is found in three different places, and then a fourth place, a minor section on this in chapter 9. But the three main sections in Proverbs that deal with sexual ethics would be chapter 5, verses 1 through 23. Here in chapter 6 and verse 20 and following, and then chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. 5, 6, and 7 chapters of Proverbs deal with sexual ethics. That's a lot of material. It's a very important topic. God knows it. Solomon knows it. The proverb writer knows this, and we need to know it today. So let's look at this 10th and final paternal appeal. In chapter 6, verses 20 through 27, there is wisdom given here to avoid the immediate temptation of sexual immorality and the consequences that follow, namely the spiritual ruin that will follow. There will be social problems. There might even be financial problems. And there certainly is going to be spiritual or ethical problems. A person is going to lose their soul. A person might die physically over sexual immorality. We know, we've heard before these news stories about a love triangle. And so you have three people going at it in some sort of physical and sexual relationship, and one ends up shooting somebody else and killing them over love. And so there is a problem, and there is an emphasis here on sexual sin and how to avoid it. Look at Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. We need to be open with our children about sexual ethics, especially when they get on up junior high and definitely high school age. Proverbs 6 and verse 20, "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching." Notice both parents need to be in on this. "Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life." So this binding them about your neck and your heart, in other words, keep them close. They're to be an integral part of your life. They're not just simply theory. They're not hypotheticals and theoreticals and abstract, obscure principles. They are to be concrete principles that are to be in our life each and every day. And then in verse 24, what good do they do, these commandments that are a light that keep us away from that dark life? What do? To preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. So first of all, don't be taken in by the physical looks, and that's often what pulls a person away into sexual immorality, is the way that the woman looks, or they're attracted to the man. We have a soul inside of us that's a spiritual part of us. We've got to be thinking about the spiritual, not just the physical. It's not just about the looks of someone and the smell of someone and their words, what we hear. We've got to think beyond the physical. So he talks about the smooth tongue and the eyelashes. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. So whether the person is a prostitute or whether a person is a married woman, this is to be avoided. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? It's a rhetorical question. You get fire that close to you, you're going to get burnt. And you get close to this woman or this man in sexual immorality, you're going to get burnt. There could be physical problems, STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. There's going to be social problems. People who do this kind of thing have a hard time socially building relationships with others later in life. There's always the pain and the agony and the guilt and the depression that often goes on. Sometimes there's physical dangers of getting hurt or even getting killed, like I mentioned earlier. You have a sexual relationship with a woman who's married. There's been many times where her husband comes after you and shoots you dead. I hear stories about that all the time. You get this close to fire, you're going to get burned. When I build a campfire, when I build a trash fire out back, and I get real close, and the coals or the embers or the flames jump out, I get burnt when I get close. And we get burnt spiritually when we get close to this kind of thing. Chapter 6, verse 28. Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. And there have been a lot of people where physical things have not happened, but God is going to punish you. There's going to be punishment, if not in this life, in the judgment day. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his appetite when he is hungry. But if he is caught, he will pay sevenfold. He will give all the goods of his house. He who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. He will get wounds, and dishonor and disgrace will not be wiped away. Now, in our society, it's promoted and propagated and advertised and laughed at and encouraged, but there's actually going to be problems. He will get wounds and dishonor, and his disgrace will not be wiped away. For jealousy makes a man furious, and he will not spare when he takes revenge. He will accept no compensation. He will refuse, though you multiply gifts. You have a sexual relationship with a woman. If it's the wrong thing, and that man, that husband, he is not going to be pacified in any way. He will take it out on her and you. And that has happened many times. Stay away from that. Then look with me at chapter 7 in verse 1. The proverb writer continues on with this sexual ethics. And again, we're passing these principles on to our children. This is not just simply a sermon on a radio program. It's not just something that preachers talk about from the pulpit or on a radio program. This is something that parents need to be saying. Parents or grandparents, let me encourage you, you read these verses, make the material your own, and you pass it on to the young people. Chapter 7 and verse 1. Again, in verses 1 through 5, we will not read those verses again. Keeping God's word and God's commandments close to your heart. And then the sexual ethics picks up again in chapter 7 and verse 6. For at the window of my house I have looked out through the lattice and have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths a man, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. So the first thing that is mentioned is that this young man is lacking sense. And we've got to talk to our young people that when you go out and engage in sexual immorality, you are lacking sense. You're simple in the sense of you're just engaged in a physical act without thinking it through. You're not thinking about the repercussions and the ramifications and the consequences and ultimately the punishment that will come from God. So don't be someone who just goes out lacking sense and engaging in this kind of thing. Now, our young people today, they may not be passing along the street corner. They may not be doing that, although there are places still in the country where we call it a red light district, where the prostitutes walk up and down the streets and hang out on the corners. There's big urban areas where that still takes place. But a young person today doesn't necessarily have to do that. They might go to a college frat party. They might go to a high school party after a football game. They might hang out with some friends on the weekend. They might go to a bar. Whatever the case might be, there is still sexual immorality taking place. And we are without sense when we engage in that. Look again at verse 10. Let's consider another point. And behold, the woman meets him dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home, now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lays in wait. So the second point here is that there are women, of course men too, who are out looking for it. If they're out looking for it, they're going to find it. If you're out looking for it, you're going to find it. And the two of you will come together and it will be a problem. And notice that she's described as someone of a wily of heart. This deep down inside is a heart problem where we're looking for something that we should not have. That sexual relationship we need to explain to our young people is good and right, but it is to be fulfilled in a God-ordained marriage. That's where it is to be fulfilled, not in these other ways. Verse 13, she seizes him and kisses him, and with a bold face she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you and to seek you eagerly. I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egypt linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him, and at full moon he will come home. Notice in the third place here, you have the idea of somebody saying something to make you feel good. You say something to them, oh, I'm in love with you. Somebody says something to you, oh, you're so beautiful, or you're so handsome, and you smell good, and you look good, and you get caught up in all of that, but sin is still sin. You take away the compliments, you still have sin. You take away the good looks, you still have sin. You take away the smells, you still have sin. It is what it is. And this invitation in verse 18, come, let us take our fill of love Love is the word that is commonly used, but it's not biblical love. Biblical love is pure. Biblical love sacrifices and serves. Biblical love has boundaries and proper relationships. This is not love, this is lust. So don't fall for that line. And my husband is not at home. Somebody might say, well, mom and dad aren't home. Let's go ahead and do this. My husband or my wife is not at home. Let's go ahead and do this. Nobody will see us. Nobody will hear us. When in fact God sees and God hears. Don't fall for that line. It's still sin. Even if mom and dad aren't there and the husband's not there and the wife's not there or whoever, it's still sin. And then look at verse 21. With much seductive speech, she persuades him, and her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces its liver, a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. And so this seductive speech draws us in, and oh yeah, it feels good, and everybody's enjoying it. The sexual act is supposed to feel good. God designed the human body for that, but it's to be fulfilled in a God-ordained marriage. That's the way it began with Adam and Eve in Genesis 1 and 2, and that's the way it's always supposed to be. Again, Hebrews 13, verse 4, let marriage be had in honor, and the marriage bed undefiled. It's a great relationship. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. That act that, yes, is meant to be a good act and a fulfilling act is sin outside of a godly marriage. So don't be brought in by the seductive speech and persuaded. You're being led like an ox to the slaughter, like a deer that is caught, like a bird that is caught. You're being caught. And often there are physical problems in this life and in God's judgment to come. And verses 24 through 27, listen to me. Do not turn aside to her ways, for many a victim she has laid low. So, stay away from sexual immorality. Well, be careful who you make covenants and commitments with, and stay away from sexual immorality. Parents and grandparents, let me encourage you to give these paternal appeals to your young people. They need it. They're not going to get it at school. They're not going to get it on Facebook. They're not going to get it on social media. They're not going to get it on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. They're not going to get it there. The very thing they need to go to heaven, they're not going to get there and with their friends and other places. They need to get it from you. Let me encourage you to be giving them the advice that they need to go to heaven. If you need to make some corrections, let me help you do that so that you can turn around and help those whom you love. I'm so glad that you've joined us on the Let the Bible Speak program. We're letting God's Bible and Word speak to us today, and it's so fulfilling and rewarding. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.